I look at like dads now, and I'm like the dad with the tucked in shirt and the cargo shorts and the New Balances, and I'm like, this dude doesn't give a shit at all. What does he do? He's like so tired and mellow and zen because he probably goes to work and he's probably like a fucking software engineer and he probably helped build Windows or some shit. Who are you, sir? Like, everybody has something to offer each other, you know?
Just find something that you like and fucking go for it and put all your energy into it. If you really do that, then you're gonna fucking figure it out.
You wanna find a problem that all of us have and you wanna find a way to solve that problem.
2 hours and less than $200, you're fucking in business running off of your fucking phone.
Everybody wants to be a boss. Cool, it's okay to not be a boss.
Exactly.
It's okay to be Robin, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be fucking Batman, you know? Like, sometimes Robin will say Batman, you know what I mean?
Don't get it twisted though, we're definitely gonna be smoking weed.
Welcome back, guys. This is the Doobie Talk Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts.
And I'm the other one.
That's What's Aaron. Up? That's E. I'm D. And we're here.
E and D.
To figure this shit out.
Cue music.
What are we going to figure out? We don't fucking know yet.
Maybe after we smoke this joint, we'll have a little better idea.
But
a little better understanding.
About to put this one in the air, and then we'll see where it takes us. So,
what is that, purple weed?
This is the purple, the mystery purple that we've had forever, just creating so much content all up and down Instagram for all the channels of all the different ways that we could use purple weed.
So photogenic, just pops right out.
It looks like beautiful black thing.
I know, just little black rocks.
So welcome back to the podcast, guys.
It's like we haven't been on here in forever. Did we skip a week?
Mm-mm. I think we just filled it really early.
We filled it early.
We filled it like 5 days early.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it's been like a month or something.
Yeah,
like,
right?
I feel like so much has happened since the last podcast we did.
Yeah, so we could like update you guys on some events. This past Saturday we went to an event in West Hollywood. We were invited by our boy Shelton from Zeke Farms. They do their concentrate company is called CO2 Clear, and they work with the company called Jolla. What's it called?
La Jolla.
Really bad.
Look it up. LAJOLA or some shit like that.
And it's like a catering company, and they were infusing CBD and THC into their food.
So yeah, basically they throw these like special events where they sell tickets or whatever, and it's just this like dope little area, spaces with like open bar and like fucking waitresses walking around with hors d'oeuvres and like all this shit, and it's all just like lightly infused. So like me and Derek were just fucking slamming back the old oyster bar.
THC like, infused oyster bar.
Oyster fucking shit. They had like sausage, rice, they had like fucking
crackers,
squash.
With
sushi, bean plant, whatever the fuck it was. Like, I don't even know. Is that even a
just
thing?
Fast plant, bean plant.
It's a skate trick.
Bean plant is a skate trick.
I'm trying to eat that. Baby back whales. They had some McDonald's there.
Infused baby back whales.
Yeah. But no, it was pretty dope. It was like kind of sophisticated. Felt like we kind of stuck out like usual.
Like, we were pretty much wearing this.
Yeah. Everybody was all swanky, but it was pretty dope. We like, oh, even CBD infused cocktails. So they had like some super bomb like whiskey fucking something.
It was like spiced cider whiskey or some shit.
Yeah.
And it was in like a kerosene can.
Super like, dope packaging, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a butane tin can was like the packaging for it. It was fucking branded really well. And then they mixed that shit, did some like craft cocktails, and then put like lavender and all this shit in there.
Super
and then
infuse fancy.
It with CBD, and I was like definitely feeling
and I was
some
say, and about
shit.
30 minutes later your boy was crossfaded.
Yeah.
I was like feeling the edibles, like feeling the joint, the fucking drink was hitting me. I was just like, all right, I need to stop all this right now or I'm not gonna be able to make it home. And I'm not trying to get a fucking DUI.
Exactly. And it wasn't,
I was very responsible that night.
I feel like it wasn't one thing that was like overpowering, because I only had like half a cup of the cocktail. But then again, like,
I was like feeling good, but I was like, if I drink one more drink or like eat four more oysters or some shit, like I'm gonna be like,
like I wasn't
dancing on the fucking stage up there or some
like
shit.
A true crossfade.
Yeah.
It was a true, because...
Like, well, you're just, like, getting hit from all these different directions.
Because yeah. I wasn't too, like, buzzed off the whiskey, and I also wasn't too high. Either.
Like, literally, I didn't eat anything the whole entire day.
Yeah.
So I just started drinking. Like, everything sort of just hit me, like, way harder, you know? Just hit me all at once. So... That was fucking pretty cool, pretty dope event. Hopefully, I think this is they're gonna do one every month. So,
it was sick. There's a lot of people. Hopefully, we
can sneak our way under the list there for the next one.
Yeah, we just sneak Mackenzie in because she lost her passport, and her ID is detained by the police. So,
yeah,
we had to sneak her in
the old back door,
the old switcheroo.
No, we just walked right to the front.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that was dope. And then what? That was Saturday. Cannabis Cup was this last weekend. We didn't quite get a chance to make it out, but looked pretty cool. There's a lot of cool booths, and looked like it was pretty fucking popping.
People went all out.
Yeah. There's like, it's just getting insane now. There's just like three-story booths with like fucking elephants and giraffes. It's just like, dude, like I got the pricing rates for like the cost on that, and it's like $50,000 for a fucking stage booth or whatever, and like these dudes are just fucking, like some of those companies are easily spending $250,000, like easily, like by the talent that they're fucking hiring, the booth build out, the fucking labor, the fucking giveaways,
the promo,
the marketing, like so much fucking money. So like it's just interesting to see, like you can really tell who's doing it and who's not, like you can tell who's like. Really fucking making some serious moves, because
like who's there, huge to
presence there, like
so certain companies are there to spend money and certain companies are there to make money.
Yeah,
there's a dude selling like $100 zips, they're just trying to like make a bunch of bread that day, and right. Then there's the companies that are just throwing out $250 handfuls of concentrates that
trying
are trying
to get their name out there.
Yeah, just a huge marketing thing.
But it's interesting, and just every event, there's just all these new brands popping up that we didn't, like, fucking Steezy, like, they never, where the fuck they come from,
yeah.
Like, Brass Knuckles, like, fucking Farm, whatever, like, just all these companies just popping up in the last couple months, just, like, throwing, like, real money into it, so it's just, like, interesting to see how this is, like, playing out.
And then there's the people that aren't throwing money into it.
Right.
There's people like Zeke that have, like, their own scientists on staff, but yet they didn't even show up to Cannabis Cup, they're working more with Chalice, so... There's the ones that are out there, and then the ones that aren't out there, but the ones that aren't visible are still breaking so much bread. It's insane.
There's just so many avenues and so many fucking... I'm just curious to see 1 year from right now, because all this shit in January is about to go through, and, like, the first legal day of sales in Colorado was, like, what, $1 million? Or, like, $2 million? Or, like, $10 million? It's some crazy number the first day that sales were open to Colorado, and the fucking money they made on the taxes alone was like outrageous. So it's gonna be interesting to see if it's gonna like bring a lot of new like stores and brands and products and awareness, or if it's just gonna be the same, or like it's gonna be interesting.
It's gonna be extremely interesting. See how this shit,
because like if Colorado did whatever, say $5 million, what the fuck is California gonna do, you know? Like California, I feel like, is the fucking mecca of weed.
Oh, it's super... Wow. Look what comes up.
What?
Some Snopes article. Go back. What the fuck? There's some Snopes article that says, like, 37 overdose on the day of marijuana legalization.
Oh, God, you're right.
That's so funny.
On what, edibles?
It's just people lost their ego.
Yeah,
ego death. Because they ate 250 millis. I just want to know how much money.
First day.
Guess.
Cannabis sales. I'm going to say 6 million. I don't even know. Who knows? 4.179.
Just throw out numbers. Just throw out your
six.
Old, just throw out your old phone number.
8675 Mike Jones.
It said in 2016 Colorado topped 1 billion in legal marijuana sales.
So that's like what? 3 million in a day? 2 point something million a day? So the first day had to be like 5 or 10 then. I remember there's an article about it, but who knows? They fucking made a lot of goddamn money. but we'll see what California's got up their sleeve here.
Yeah.
So yeah, Cannabis Cup, what else? Fucking Green Street, went back to Green Street on Thursday. That was pretty dope. They had like another event for Timeless Vapes. Timeless Vapes is like super dope. Fucking vape, oil, pen.
Yeah, like distillate and company. Super out of Arizona.
Fucking high quality shit. And they're doing like all these crazy partnerships with like 2 Chainz and fucking whoever. It's pretty wild, but we had some good talks at Green Street, met some people, plugged in with some other influencers and stuff, and we may or may not have some things up our sleeves, ladies and gentlemen. So we don't want to talk about it too much because we don't really know what's gonna happen yet, but knock on wood, your boys may be moving on up.
Yeah.
To the higher place in the sky.
The high rise. As we say. Yeah, so that's been an exciting last 5 days of...
And then on top of all that, we are moving out of our fucking warehouse. I don't think we've even discussed that on the podcast yet either.
Yeah,
so
I don't know.
Like, all this shit in the last, like, week and a half has kind of, like, transpired, so... It's almost all aligning perfectly, but we'll have to see how it unfolds. Let's just hope for the best. But yeah, lots of changes and lots of possible partnerships are on the horizon, so we're staying busy over here, grinding away.
Yeah. A lot on the horizon. So that's what happens when we get our asses out of the office. Twice
and we go to like 2 events and just fucking
like life changing shit almost happens. Getting out.
The power of networking.
That's it. That was like one thing I learned at a young age, with the whole skate thing. Like DJ Speed was this dude who like mentored me back in the day, and I was probably like 16, 17, and he was in the skate industry. He was a team manager for Action Shoes and City Star Skateboards. And he took me under his wing and pretty much just, like, took me to every fucking video premiere, every event, every ASR
show. Did you even understand it back then, though? Because I didn't understand this shit until, like, I was, like, 21 or 22. And even now, I'm, like, just now really starting to, like, realize how valuable it is. Like, but when you're, like, 16, 17, are you, like... I need to like network and build my network and like meet these people, then maybe this store will open down the line. Like,
because I like knew like, you got it. I knew what the fuck I wanted to do. Right. You know, like I got like around the time you start learning how to do tricks that like pros are doing and you're seeing in the videos, like pretty progressive. And
I remember that when I was just learning.
And like you get that spark and you're like, fuck, I could do this. You know, like I'm not doing the same tricks with my friends I'm hanging out with. Like, let's fucking go. And then. Yeah, it was just like, what could I fucking do? And I was like, I didn't have anything else. Like, my parents had just gotten divorced. I was just like, let's go forward. Like, who could I find to skate with that's like, because back then, which was super sick about it, was back then nobody fucking skated. You know, that's how we know each other. We went to different.
We're in the same city. There's very limited people that skated.
We're like 5 years apart.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we ended up meeting and skating and shit. So, like, fuck, I was skating with people way older than me, skating with people way younger than me, because there's nobody to skate with. Mm-hmm. So any chance I got to meet somebody, even if they weren't really great at skating, it's just there's somebody to, you know?
Yeah. Or even, like, this is a great point, like, the whole, like, meeting people, like, you never know type of shit. You met me through skating. We didn't fucking talk for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, like, that leads you to a fucking job. You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, that's just one small, like, it's fucking nuts. Like,
that's it.
So, like, fuck, that's something, like, I've been putting a lot more effort into recently, is, like, really trying to just fucking build these relationships and build this network and just fucking help other people. Like, don't even look out for yourself in the short term, because in the long term, it's gonna pay off if you fucking, like, look at Ears, like, a good friend of ours. Like, all this dude does is fucking just plug people in with each other and try to connect the dots. He's like... Oh, I know this dude who's a good skater, and like, oh, my homie owns this board company, like, you two should talk. Like, oh, my homie owns this farm, and these dudes make weed videos, you two should talk. And that's all he does. He never asks for fucking anything. All he does is just fucking provide value. And then what does that make that, like, now I'm like, I want to fucking help this dude as much as I can. Like, how could I help you? And then it's just full circle, you know? Like, he's going to get out so much more than he's putting in. He's not even trying to get anything out.
Exactly. You know? He just wants to help everybody. He wants to plug people in. And that's a thing. Look at the Koch brothers. The dudes who, like, run the fucking country.
The Koch, what is that again?
That's, like, the dudes who...
That sounds so familiar.
I don't even know what the... Like, what their real titles are. They're, like, lawyers, but they're the dudes that, like, connect the corporations with, like, the politicians. And I'm an idiot, by the way, so nothing I'm saying makes sense. Here, hold this. I'm gonna look this shit up. They're the dudes who, like, run the shit.
The Koch brothers.
Yeah, pretty much. Koch brothers. It's spelled like... How is it spelled?
It's what, K-O-C-H?
How many companies are owned? Yeah, so these dudes, just, I'm pretty sure they're just, like, the middleman. They just, like, are the plug. 2015 revenue is $115 billion. American family engaged in business, most noted for their political activities and control of Koch Industries, the second largest privately owned company in the United States, with 2013 revenues of $115 billion.
That's a whole lot of money.
Developed a new cracking method for the refinement of heavy crude oil and gas. The four sons litigated against each other over their interests in the business during the 1980s. I don't know.
Just a bunch of billionaires suing each other?
Yeah.
Fucking crazy.
What is that world?
Like, what is that even? What is
what
that?
What is that world? Sounds...
Fucking relax. If you got $1 billion in revenue, you need to shut the fuck up.
If you have $1 million,
shut the fuck up.
Yeah, if you have
one... goddamn joint.
Smoke a joint and become a philanthropist. Yeah. There's so much you could do. You could, like, help change the world if you're a fucking billionaire.
Jesus Christ.
Hedge fund manager.
Yeah, but fucking networking kids. It all starts of a good quote that I've heard is... I don't even know it. It's a... It all starts with a smile and a handshake or some shit. Or it all starts with a smile and a hello. Or, like, it's something along those lines, because it's, like, it's so true. Like, you could be standing in line and you're, like, see some dude standing next to you. You're like, hey, what's up, man? Oh, what's up? Chilling, dude. Like, whatever. You make small talk. This dude fucking is a billionaire. And you know what I mean? Like, anybody could be anybody. Like,
yeah.
You never know who anyone is. Like, have you ever met someone and you're like, who the fuck is this asshole? And he turns out to be, like, the fucking... G is fucking whatever, you know?
I love it. That's, like, all I look at now. Like,
you never know who's who.
I look at, like, dads now, and I'm, like, the dad with the tucked-in shirt and the cargo shorts and the New Balances, and yeah. I'm like, this dude doesn't give a shit at all. What does he do? He's, like, so tired and mellow and zen because he probably goes to work, and he's probably, like, a fucking software engineer, and he probably helped build Windows or some shit, you know? And you're just like, what is this? Like, who are you, sir?
Sir,
like, everybody has something to offer each other, you know?
Yeah, it's like, don't just look at, like, who's got fucking a million followers or who's got fucking this or that, because, like, anybody could fucking be anything. You need to look for the people that are hungry and motivated and have a similar mindset, because those are the people that in the future you're going to want to fuck with, you're going to want to have that relationship with.
Character.
Exactly, yeah.
People with character.
Yeah.
Investing in people. Said that before.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Invest in more people.
But yeah, networking is fucking huge. The days of walking around ASR with, like, a backpack full of VHS tapes, because my DJ Speed is like, bring your tape.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm gonna introduce you to this dude, and he sure as fuck did. Yeah. Went around and shook hands with everybody and met people and kind of realized the power of it.
Yeah.
Because who knows, back then there was no internet.
Now you just walk up, you're like, yo, can you sponsor me, please? Here's my kid.
Yeah, it
or
wasn't
just
even
set DM it to him.
There wasn't
shit.
Even text messaging. Like, people didn't even, like, fucking text like that back then. I was, like, trying to call the team manager of S to get my box for, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, it was, like, such a different time. But, yeah, you had to get out there and you had to, even today with social media and DMs and following people and networking, through that realm, like, you still have to go out and you still have to, like, get some FaceTime, build rapport with somebody, vibe out with them, find common interests,
relationships. Yeah, that just made me think of something. Trying to become a sponsored skater or being a professional skater is just like running a fucking business, because think about it, I'm 16, like, I'm over here fucking editing my fucking video, like, making sure the clips are good, whatever, and then I'm fucking like, all right, who can I get on? Like, I'm finding leads, you know what I mean? And then I'm fucking pitching, I'm pitching myself. I didn't know this back then, but now I think of it, it's just, it's the same shit.
Yeah, like, of course.
You're just like, fucking cool. Hey, fucking CCS, here's my tape. Like, can you sponsor me? I'm really good and I'll work hard and whatever the fuck you say, you know?
You're
and you get 100 fucking no's, and then maybe you get one person that's like, yo, I'll send you a board, send me more footage or something, you know what I mean?
That's all it is that, about it in that sense. Then like, one opportunity too.
Yeah.
The dude who's like,
you gotta drum up the business, and the business is getting the fucking whatever, mm-hmm. you know?
It's exactly, because you are your own brand, and it's never
marketing yourself.
And that's more relevant today than ever.
Right.
Is just having a skill, having a craft, whatever it is that you do, and then branding yourself and finding ways to market that to expose your craft or your art to the world, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And that's with social media, but...
I just, like, had a little flashback, because, like, I'm fucking 16 doing the same thing I'm doing now, just different. Like, now I'm like, all right, which companies can I get to order shit from us? All right, cool. Like, I'm gonna hit this one up. I'm gonna send them all my shit, blah, blah, blah. Then when I'm 16, I'm like, all right, how can I get free boards? Like, how can I get stickers? Like, how can I get this, that? And I'm just like hitting them up. Like, same shit, you know?
It's the same exact thing, because you are making, like, edits of your friends skating, and then you would enter these contests and shit, and you would, like, yeah. shop the videos around.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Same shit.
Yeah. That's very similar. I never thought of that, but like, it all kind of mm-hmm. all kind of comes full circle, you know?
I mean, it makes sense to me, like, yeah. when I look back at it, like, you were always like doing these things.
Well, because like you actually had like success with your skating, like you actually like fucking toured and like had fucking pro boards and like did all this shit, or in videos and magazines. Like, I'm some idiot kid, like, I'm watching the videos and I'm like you're watching the videos and you're like, I could do all this shit, and then I'm watching video parts and I'm like, I could do like 2 or 3 tricks in this mm-hmm. dude's part, like, or whatever. And then that, but in my crazy head, I'm like, that equates to like, oh, I could be a pro skater. Mm-hmm. So I thought I really could until I was like 17 or fucking whatever. And then I'm like, kind of just started getting a little smarter and just like, no, like, there's levels to this shit, and mm-hmm. I'm not on the level. Like, it's not even a comparison. Like, I can't even front board a rail, and your rail heel nose grinding it. Like, how does that even? That's, there's levels, you know? It's skill. Like, it's crazy.
Do you feel like, now, like, pre-social media, like, when you had to make that decision, it was easier to make than if you were to have that, to make that decision today, and being, like, on social media today. And you see, like, but then you see these kids who have a fuck ton of followers and they're just doing, like, fast plants and whatever, just wallies and
yeah,
pole jams and shit, you know?
I think now that in retrospect, I would have just filmed more shit, just more silly shit, because I was always the dude that was trying to make the dope shit. Like, I want to make a 30-minute video. I want to fucking make this, like, 7-minute edit and enter it into all these contests. Like, I want to film a full video part and spend 2 years filming it, even though fucking nobody's going to watch it. Like, mm-hmm. I'm trying to, like, go out with a little John and film, like, hard flip backtail big spins, mm-hmm. like, 12 years ago. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was always trying to do, like, dope shit. And I, now that I look back, I missed the mark. I should have just been filming fuck around shit. Filming fucking little John do Benihanas over the fucking bike mm-hmm. and fucking me doing like fucking double hard flips and just circus silly shit and building a YouTube channel out of it. And then now I would have 14 million subscribers because I had been doing it for 12 years and I would have all the content. I have all the relationships. I know all the fucking pro. I know all the skater. You know what I mean? Like, but I didn't look at it like that back then. I want to fucking make the dopest shit and mm-hmm. like blah, 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 blah. And like, that's how I thought about it, mm-hmm. you know?
Because that's like the path we thought we were supposed to take.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
The same way you're just, as a kid trying to get sponsored, you're like, yeah, I want to make this video part, give it to this dude, do this, or like, I know dudes who've like been in the industry and they're still working on like sponsor videos to give people and their yeah. team managers. I'm like, bruh, you've like been in fucking magazines more than 20 times, you have like 30,000 followers, 50,000 yeah. followers, you're like on these companies, like, you've proven yourself. You don't need to just give your team manager a minute of footage. Like, they're in, if you're on the team, they're investing in you.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to do that. Like, yeah. you need to just get the quality or the quantity, whatever you're trying to do, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, but like, that's so because that's what we're, like, trained to do, is just, like, oh, I need to work on my footage, I need to work on my tape. But, like, kids nowadays that are successful at this shit, that's, like, the least on their mind, you know? Like, yeah. I think a lot of the kids who are killing it, they understand that side of skateboarding, you mm-hmm. know, the kind of older model, but then they're like tapping into the new shit, like Justin Dryson.
I was just gonna say, like, those dudes have the perfect wavelength, like, they just hit it perfect.
Yeah, they just like do certain shit for the gram, like trendy shit for the gram, but then they're also like very skilled, and then they're going out and filming video parts, not just with the, like, the We Fried homies, but also with the companies that they ride for, like Small and all that shit.
Yeah, it's just, it's interesting, because then it's like, I'm like 17 or whatever, and I'm like, okay, cool, like, there's no way I'm gonna be a fucking pro skater, so it's like, what's the next best thing? Like, I'll be the filmer. So then that made me want to film even more dope shit, and I'm like filming fucking brand new shit that's never been done, like doing the craziest shit, like filming these Mag Minutes and fucking filming Namba and filming all these fucking sick ass dudes. Like, so like, I'm trying to put out like the dopest content or whatever, you know, but I'm just not thinking about it in like the right sense almost. Like, and then like after doing that for a couple of years, probably like 3 years of doing that or whatever, I'm like, then I realized that there's no money in skateboarding at all, and I'm like, wait, these pro skaters are getting paid how much? Like, what? Like, that's insane. Like, how do you live? Like, you need like a full-time job, and you're like, what? This is, it didn't make any sense, you know? So then it was like, all right, you know, whatever. But it's just interesting. Almost like the business sense of the fucking hustle skating.
There's definitely a business sense. And like, growing up, like, under DJ Speed and then also Makendo, because when I met Makendo, he was a Dark Star team manager. And then so me and him were just like immediately like good homies, and he put me on to a lot of the business because Chet Thomas kind of mentored him. So
It seems like you've always kind of had like older people around that kind of like steered you in one way or another.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, I had DJ Speed.
Like, I always just had fucking idiots. Yeah, like Miles and fucking just all these like bad influences around me.
Yeah,
like,
right. Yeah, I've always tried to, I always had like mentors, but then also like kind of try to be a mentor at the same time.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I always broke down with people on the business side of things with skateboarding. Like, it always interests me. Yeah. Like, so I didn't go to college, and okay, we're not allowed to say this shit anymore in the podcast. Like, every episode, I didn't go to college. So I didn't have that experience. So the true experience of being a skater who's like getting free shit and going into some little small business, like a skateboard company, and maybe there's a couple offices, and I'm like, get to meet like sales reps and get to understand that like this dude's production, he deals with like getting the boards.
See, that's
made.
Cool. So you're kind of like on it, like in the beginning, like you're seeing all that. Like, I didn't even understand why someone would want to, or like, I didn't understand the sponsor to sponsory like relationship. Like, I thought it was like, you're sponsored on how good your video is. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. But it's like, no. The fucking company's trying to make money. Like, they're trying to fucking market you to sell shit. That's the whole idea of making, like, that's your marketing vehicle for their fucking company. Mm-hmm. Like, I never understood that until I got older. I'm like, oh, makes sense. Very good. I always thought it was like, yep, that fucking hard flip and fucking false stare in your video.
I mean,
blah, blah, blah. Like, nope.
I feel like 10% of skateboarding understands that concept. Every kid's just still out there thinking that if they like learn how to backside 360 kickflip the pyramid to flat, that they're gonna like get on the shop and then you know, whatever.
Yeah. Did you see Clive Dixon's part, his rough cut? I never really knew that. I knew he was on Birdhouse, I knew he was good or whatever. Dude, that fool's part is fucking gnarly.
He does like alley-oop 180 fucking 50s and shit.
Nose blunts El Toro in the middle of his part. He fucking crooks Staples Center Ledge in the middle of his part. He fucking lip slides this rail that's like fucking taller than me. It's like a 30 stair rail that's like fucking this high. Like,
what do you do?
That dude gets fucking buck. Like, you can't say shit about that dude. Like, he's literally doing like death defying fucking maneuvers. Like, I was like, wow. I've heard his name and like seen a little bit here and there, but I've like never like really whatever.
Everybody's just fucked.
And I'm like,
dude,
this fucking guy is like a stuntman. It's not even skateboarding.
Did
it's
you
like
see
unreal?
Speaking of stunts, did you see Tommy Finn backlip that Rob
or
Deirdre
that
crail?
Oh my god! Dude. I was gonna send you that, but I was like, oh, you probably saw
dude,
it it's everywhere.
I legit.
I was like, what?
I legit was watching it to be like, is this fucking real? Like, I was like, did Joe Pease or did somebody fucking CGI this?
It could, like, totally be like, yeah.
I literally
did it perfect, like, too. Like, yeah. You couldn't have done it any more better.
Like, it did not look fucking real. And that spot, you literally get two tries.
That's in LA, right?
It's, like, right in downtown.
I've never seen it.
It's, you've gone past it a million times.
I'm sure, yeah.
But, dude, it is insane. And like, he did it so good. And then
I was impressed with his part. Like, I knew he was good too, but I was like,
did you watch that part?
Yeah,
I didn't watch it. I just saw the backflip on Instagram.
It's pretty fucking,
it's like good. A lot of like back nose blunts, tray flips.
That's like, cause that's what I like. Cause like, I don't know, I had like mixed feelings Kickflip about him Chris. Cause like I saw his like old video part and it's like really good, and then I see them on like Street League and like just little like commercials and like whatever, and I'm like, clearly he's fucking good, like that's obvious, but like I just wasn't really feeling it. And then like he put out this part and I was like, damn, it's actually like dope. It's like not the same old shit. He like mixes it up a little bit. It's like pretty sick. But I was like, wow, that back lip alone was just like ridiculous. That back lip.
Okay.
What?
Does it compare to Jeff Wan song, kickflip nose manual, nolly varial heel flip off
Can
of a
you
roof?
Imagine if he landed that? Roof? I would just be like, that's it. You win.
Is
like,
that
what?
Real?
That's like some Tony Hawk Pro. That's like, you can't even land that in Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Dude,
like,
wouldn't let you. An EA would not let you land that.
Dude, that kid is the best. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. He is the best skateboarder of all time. He is a maniac. He's going to like 12 stairs and just like fucking double inward heel flipping it for fun. Like, that's his warm up.
Pretty much.
Or he'll like, what the fuck?
Nolly inward heel 360 down a fucking 9 stair. I feel like he's like the...
It's so funny.
Could you call him like the 2017 Matt Dreyer?
No. Because Matt Dreyer was like another level.
That's true.
Like, that fool was fucked. And he was like skating big ass rails and like this kid's like whatever. He's just like, how do I explain it? Like, he's just skating like skate parks and like fucking 10 stairs and like 12, like...
Yeah.
Whatever. He's not fucking like back over crooking bullshit and shit and like tail sliding El Toro like before people were even like skating El Toro. Like,
dude, I remember the best.
I found Matt Dreyer through fucking Skate Perception. There's this thing called Sesh Skate or Skate Sesh or something like that. And they'd put out like one edit a month and it was like the rawest, fucking gnarliest edits ever. And he'd always have tricks in them. And he like built up clout through the message board. Matt Dreyer did.
Because he's the nicest dude
ever. I knew
ever.
Him before, like when I was like 12, I knew who he was because of these. I was on the message boards and like it'd be like nollie heel back lip fucking that rail
Beats
or whatever,
rails.
Like kick
yeah.
a crook, like all this shit, like 270 front, just like gnarly shit.
I know exactly like, what tricks you're talking about.
I know because it's all like, dude, how crazy is that? Like, or like he just always had like nollie flip like a 12 or whatever. Like, he just had gnarly shit all the
so
time.
Gnarly.
Like, he was so good. So like I've like been on the Matt Dreyer fucking shit, but then same with Jeff, like that goes for Homeboy too. I've been watching
him since
Jeff
Wan's
songs
since the flat bars in his driveway.
But here's the
difference,
like
shit.
Jeff Wan's songs, like yeah, doing like crooked grind, like nollie varial heel out to manual, shove it to nose manual to nollie lip to like shove it body varial revert or some shit like to manual, like I don't know. He's on like some more tech shit. Matt Dreyer's like on some like gnarly shit. I
Matt Dreyer's
like.
On some fucking
or some like
shit.
Gnarly tech shit. Like,
dude, yeah, I've had some late night missions like 4 a.m, Hollywood High, Matt Dreyer trying to back nose bump the 12, on like in like 2004.
Yeah,
just crazy shit, dude. Just sessions at Hollywood watching people get down. It's pretty crazy.
I went to the Baker premiere, Baker 2G. Or no, the one after that. Baker...
Is that the one that was like a riot pretty much?
Yeah. We couldn't even get in. We made fake wristbands and shit with James Breeze. We like went to Kinko's and we like sharpied wristbands on and stood in line for like 2 hours. And then like they like... There was like 5,000 kids and like 100 wristbands. Like, so everybody's just like trying to figure it out. And, like,
young man,
Big Black
that is
was
a
there.
Fake wristband.
Big Black and like the other homies. All the Big Black security guard dudes were there holding it down. Like... But we went to Hollywood High before that, and fucking Billy Roper was trying to kickflip crook the 12 and switch blunt it, and then someone else was trying like big spin front board or some shit. This was like
crazy
10 years
shit.
Ago though, like or like 11, 12 years ago. Kickflip. That was like kickflip crook before Dustin Dolan did it.
Yeah. Billy Roper.
But,
to G.
Yeah, fucking good times on the skate wagon. So, okay, so this is perfect segment. The fucking Bam Margera fucking interview.
Still didn't listen to it, but let's go. Oh,
God. Dude, it's just, I've already kind of told you about it a little bit, but like, that shit's fucking crazy, man. Like, so basically they did the little like sit down podcast thing with Bam. And they're just asking him like when did you fucking get your first like real paycheck? Like, they're just, I love it because they're just asking him all these money questions, like all this shit I want to know. They're just like it's funny too because they talk about money for like 10 minutes and then they like start talking about skating and then Chris Roberts just comes back. He's just like, hey, but so by the way, like your best year, how much money did you make? he's like, sorry to ask all these money questions, but like blah blah blah. Like, and I'm like, yes, like. So anyways, so he's pretty much saying like, so he like grew up in Philadelphia, whatever, skating, blah blah blah. Moves out to California, he gets on Toy Machine, which is a fucking like dope board company. He's on there for like whatever a little bit, skating, filming, and like at that time he's like starting to make these like videos, like it's like land speed video or whatever. It's pretty much just like a Jackass skate video.
It's like the original Jackass. Like the
OG Jackass shit, yeah.
Before CKY2K.
Even before that, yeah, yeah. Like OG shit. And so he's making this video and he's distributing it through Toy Machine, Tom Yeddo. And so after like a couple months, he's just like, what the fuck? Like this shit's like blowing up and like I'm not getting any money. Like where's all the money for this like coming in? So he figures out that these dudes are pretty much just fucking him over and they're just selling his shit and keeping all the money pretty much. So he's like, fuck this, dude. Like, so he pulls out of Tom Yeddo, gets his video, and he goes to 411, who's like a huge video magazine, like media fucking giant at the time. Like, they had the lock on the skate industry, like, for a few years, like, media wise. And so he goes to them, they start distributing it. Boom. First check he gets is for $1 million. So he's like, how much fucking money were these dudes stealing from me for like a year, 6 months off my shit? Like, they probably cashed out a couple million or something if you got a million royalty. Like, so he gets $1 million check. He's 21 years old. 20 or 21 years old when he gets this check. $1 million. Then from there, he pretty much starts, obviously, skating more, pro skater, signs with Element. Right around all this same time, like, his shit's getting shopped to Jackass, or he's in talks with MTV for Jackass, or whatever. Basically, everything just culminates in, like, a cult, like 2 years after that or something like that, around that time, and basically he gets a Jackass fucking TV deal. He gets on, he's pro for Element with, like, the best-selling board, because he's on TV now, so now he's famous. So now he's on Element, selling 40,000 boards a month. Then on top of that, I don't know
if like anybody's ever sold that much.
Like who else?
Ever,
like Scheckler, but not even Scheckler. Maybe Tony Hawk.
No, I don't like, even think so because
Scheckler had a. I feel like at one point Scheckler was on MTV. He was lit.
Yeah,
he was like Etney's World Industries, fucking MTV. Like probably wasn't no 40,000.
But it's also like was. Whoever Scheckler rode for at that time, did they have the distribution that Element had?
Because
that's what, or is this Toy Machine?
No, so
this is
he was on Toy Machine. They're distributing it. He wasn't getting any money, so he's like, "Fuck you." He's like, "I know that you're making money off this." So he took his shit and went to 411. That was the video deal was through 411.
Yeah,
and then after that, he gets on Element.
Yeah, so whatever. He's doing 40,000 Element boards.
Right.
Like, I don't think, like, whoever Scheckler was riding for would have had the distribution to pump out, because think that's,
it was
like...
World Industries.
That's, like, Billabong stores.
Wasn't it? Or was it... Yeah, I think it was... Because he was on World Industries forever, wasn't
he? Nah, because he was on Almost when he was still, like, 15 or 16. And then during the Life of Brian, it was either, like, Almost or Plan B.
Might have been Almost, huh?
But yeah, I don't feel like Dwindle wouldn't have the reach that Element had with like.
And then here's the other culmination though, culture. Like, so it's like cool, he's on Jackass, on national fucking TV with like the highest rated show, and then he's on Element, and then at that same time the Tony Hawk video game comes out. He's in the Tony Hawk video game. I want to say there's like one more piece to it, to the puzzle, but like basically, everything is just fucking peaking at one time for this dude. Like, all the chips are in his corner, everything. So he's saying once that happened, like, once he's on TV and blah, 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 and he's starting to just make, like, stupid money, his dad quits his full-time job to just handle Bam's finances. And he's like, so how much money were you making a month? Like, did you even know how much money you had? And he's like, no. He's like, literally, he's like, in the beginning, my dad would call me and be like, yo, you got a check today for like 40 grand, or like, yo, you got a check for a million, or whatever. And then he's like, and then it just got to the point where, like, he would literally have to call me every single day. So, like, I'm over it. Like, just handle my shit. Like, I don't need an update every time I get a check, 'cause I'm getting one every day. And then, so they're like, how much did you make off the Tony Hawk video game? Like, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, let's just say the first check I bought a Ferrari with. So basically his first check was probably a couple hundred G's. And they're like, so what did you do with that? And he's like, I bought a Ferrari, duh. He's like, what else would I do? I'm like 22. Like 22 or 23 with like fucking checks rolling in. So he cops a fucking Ferrari when he's like 22 with the first check he gets. And then they're like, and then he's like, this is when it started getting crazy. So he's on MTV, skating, touring, killing it, whatever. He's like, Right Guard paid me $1 million for one day of work to film a commercial. $1 million. And then he said he started getting a lot of backlash at that point. After he did that Right Guard commercial, all the other pro skaters were just like hating on him, like, oh, you fucking sellout and this and that. And he's like, fuck you. He's like, you're fucking right, I'm a sellout. He's like, I just got paid $1 million for one day. He's like, fuck you. Like, he's like, let's see what you would say when they offer you that. Like, let's see you turn that down. You know what I mean? And he's like, I'll fucking sell out again. He's like, I don't give a shit. He's like, right after that, he's like, this other company paid me 80 grand to just fucking say that they had a good product. He's like, fuck you. He's like, after that, he's like, so basically he's just getting these insane fucking sponsorship deals, plus yeah. Video game checks, plus TV checks, plus board royalty checks, plus fucking blah, 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 blah. And then so he said, like, this one company literally paid him 80 grand just to give them a testimonial. He said he was getting paid anywhere from 10 to 20 grand per appearance, which is like a couple hours, and you just get shit-faced. They just like, here, come party. Here's all the alcohol you could drink. He said he did 12 days in a row one time. And by the 12th day, he was like about to die. And he's just like, what am I doing with my life? Like, this is insane. And then so like, he literally didn't even know like how much money he was fucking making. It was just coming in like so fast and so heavy. And all this dude, he's just being Bam, you know? Partying and
just a personality fucking,
he just clicked, you know, like he's a fucking showman. He's a showman.
Yeah, exactly.
He just
got the charisma,
the pot, dude. Yeah,
that's like the whole selling out thing. And kind of just, it's like interesting how we were talking about earlier with like what you think you need to do to be a pro skater or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. Bam did none of that.
Yeah,
like Bam was from like Westchester. He came up in like the probably early 2000s, like late 90s, mm-hmm. And like he was just skate FDR in Philly, which is like this DIY park under a bridge with a bunch of like cement quarter pipes and shit. And then he would just go to Love Park and do some like basic lead shit.
He's saying too,
he like never came to California. He never tried to do what he thought he had to do to be a pro skater.
He didn't follow the traditional path.
His thing. He just like had fun. He just filmed silly little fucking skits. He didn't go down to Miami to film parts and go to New York. He literally just did his own fucking thing, and like the world came to him.
And he's literally put out like maybe what, like two actual video parts or something, maybe.
Yeah, like real, but they're like so short too, you know, like a yeah. Bam Margera part in like
it's a couple tricks in a Transworld video.
Yeah, it's like Nolly 360s, or it's like the Transworld one was like shared with Kerry Getz and Mike Maldonado,
right? Yeah,
or like audio maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh yeah, I remember the audio.
He didn't have time when he's just doing his thing.
Yeah,
and that was like pre-social media, when like he set the tone, dude.
Yeah,
like that fool is like the modern day fucking like what, like Three Stooges or some shit. Like he like like Three Stooges chairs, something that like changed comedy back in the day.
It changed
like
the whole fucking culture of like, because even Jackass, like I don't give a fuck, Jackass is from fucking CKY and Bam. Like, you're not gonna tell me different. Like, I know Johnny Knoxville, whatever, but like, no, like it's fucking CKY. That, go watch CKY.
It's 100%.
It's what, you know?
Well, it's the same producers too. It's like, yeah. Jeff Tremaine and shit, which yeah. Like I was thinking, like we need to find some like Jeff Tremaine documentary or book or some shit.
That'd be sick.
Because yeah. We're gonna need to like, if the shit goes we're talking about in the next few months, like, yeah. You're gonna need some new knowledge to bring with us. But the way he just came in and like produced like all this shit, and like with the talent and everything,
and that's just like a perfect storm too with the Jackass, because like Big Brother is starting and Johnny Knoxville is starting to do his shit at Big Brother, but then Bam's over here kicking up CKY, and then it all just kind of meshes and just creates this like super fucking monster, like just took the fuck over.
It was like how many kids were just falling in the grocery store with their hands full of shit,
and or how many? You know how much Steve-O is getting paid?
Yeah, like $2,000 an episode or some shit.
Like he got paid, I think, $250 to do the goldfish thing, and then for the gnarlier stunts, he's getting like $1,500. This was like the first season, I think, or something. Meanwhile, it's the highest rated show on TV, and MTV's probably making like millions of dollars off the advertisements.
See, this is where like you hear these stories left and right about everybody, and it's hard to know. You don't have a mentor, you don't have somebody who knows that's helping you get through this shit once you start blowing up, right? But then you have dudes like Conor McGregor who are like conscious of what they're going through as they're going through it, with their knowing their value, not letting this bullshit in the back of their head fuck with their plan, and then capitalize, have like $150 million a year, you know, 4 years after getting welfare. That's the that's like what's so crazy about that shit. You know, like why is it so appealing? Because like so many people go through crazy shit.
It's like, and then, the true rags to riches, but it's just the way he did it is like insane. He just did it his own way. He just fucking talked his way to the fucking bank, like
dude, it's fucking wild. Because there's so many stories like that, like you're saying, like people who are just like rich and famous, or like you hear about these people and you're like, yeah, he only actually made like $20,000 for that. But it's like some fucking crazy movie that changed everything.
Yeah, that's very true, yeah. Like, oh, that dude must be balling, like, blah, blah, blah. He's like, he got $12 for that.
Yeah, exactly. So they didn't know they didn't know that movie was going to, like, blow the fuck up, you know? Like, how many of those cult classic movies, like, these actors, like, do the work, and then it just doesn't even, like, it just flops in the theaters, and then, like, 5 years later, it becomes a cult classic for some random reason.
Yeah.
It's like they might get little royalties here or there, but it's not, they're not making money off the anything, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that was like super fucking interesting story to listen to, because it's like we've all watched Bam as we're like growing up, and to like hear the fucking real side of shit, like just, it gave me more respect for Bam, honestly. Because he's just like so honest. He's just like, what? I'm like, you're not gonna make a million? Like, what are you saying? Like, this is just dope, you know? Especially he's just like a real dude. He's like, fuck you. Like,
yeah, especially being from Westchester, Pennsylvania. Like, he doesn't give a fuck. Like, Bam clearly didn't give a fuck what anybody thought about him. And that's like why he became successful. He didn't like worry about shit.
Yeah.
He just had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones who win. But yeah, he's definitely responsible for like bringing skateboarding to the mainstream. Like, who do you got? You got like Birdman, you got Bam,
Shaun White.
You got Shaun White,
which is kind of like,
even though like
category, but
core
like,
skateboarding does not even like
just as far as like commercial, like doing Target ads and like he was like on some, he like motherfucker had a good manager,
dude.
It's like, what other skaters, like, I don't know, you know what I mean?
Whoever who else could be one of the biggest pro skaters in the world.
And not even skate.
Exactly.
And snowboard, yeah.
So you got those dudes. You got Bam, Sheckler, and then
I was going to say Keirod, but like not even. Deirdick's a big one.
Deirdick for sure. Huge.
He's on the same shit.
And then like Bam next almost. Tier is probably P-Rod, but P-Rod's...
It's like a different level. Almost.
Yeah, it's like not super mainstream.
Because a lot of people don't even know who P-Rod is. But and Tony Hawk, everybody knows Tony Hawk. Or like, Bam, or
people who know P-Rod or like who don't skate are like sneakerheads and shit, because they get Nikes.
Yeah,
but yeah, those are the ones that like took skateboarding and put it in front of the eyes of just people who didn't even skate, who would have like Bam tattoos or pretty crazy, bringing all that money to skateboarding.
Part of that thing too was that band Him sold all their rights and everything for $4 million to like Universal or like some fucking music group, and then Bam had the harder gram shit like everywhere, so they like tried to like come at him on some shit like you can't blah blah blah, and Bam's like, cool, you realize that this TV show is watched by fucking 17 million people a day and you don't want your logo all over the place? Like, alright, cool, I won't put your fucking logo all over the place, like you're a fucking idiot, like I'm giving you free marketing, like what are you saying? So he just like had to stop like showing it or whatever after they sold. And I was like, how stupid are they? Like, he said he had like a doormat, or like he just had a bunch of random little things. I had the heartogram with the him shit.
Like, whatever. He's the one that fucking, but it's blew like it he's up.
That is exactly,
that's like Supreme being like, excuse me, Supreme Patty, can you not rep our shit anymore?
Yeah, I know.
Can you take our name off your shit? Like, do you not want the 1.7 million views per fucking post? Yeah. Or whatever. That kid's
so obnoxious.
I've like clicked on his shit like twice and just saw smart. The numbers. Yeah,
he gets it. I mean, it's not really hard to get. You just act like a fucking crazy ass and you get eyes on yourself. It's really simple as
so
that.
So do you think these kids like look like, I just like want to know how kids interpret all this shit today.
Yeah,
like 16-year-old kids and shit that like 15-year-old
I think some kids are smart
it.
And they just get it right off the bat, and they get like, they put a video up and it gets crazy views, they get it. I need to do more of that. They just go with what works. So this fool probably started just doing prank
videos.
Well,
not
videos,
him,
like,
the people who follow it. Like, did they look at it like it's a show? Like,
no, they look at it as what's he going to do next?
Yeah.
That's exactly like what it is, because like that's how I felt. Like, that's I started following him, and like the first one, he like goes to Panda Express and like goes in there with a big panda head on. And he has the song Panda Panda, the rap song playing. And he just walks in and just puts the boombox on the counter and gets up and just starts dancing to the panda song. And everybody in the restaurant's just like, and it's like pretty funny.
Yeah,
you know, it's
of
like,
course.
But like, and then it's like, damn, okay, like this kid's fucking kind of crazy. Like, what's he gonna do next, you know? And then like, he just, like, I don't really follow up on everything, but like, one I saw the other day, it was like, they're like a hockey game. And he just like has his bandana on and he's just like, starts yelling. He's like in a suite and he just like starts yelling and just starts making it rain, and there's like a person filming up here and there's a person down below filming, so it's literally just a shot of him just throwing money across a whole hockey arena, and it's just like stupid, like viral shit. Mm-hmm. Like, or he just goes and fucking flips a coffee table over and yells at someone. Like, it's just crazy antics.
It's just like funny. It's like the funny thing that you and your friends think of, and then he just actually
goes through with it. Yeah. But yeah, it's interesting. Like, the silliest one I've seen is that one guy that just steals everything on camera.
Oh my god, wait, is
did
he
you
just
see
walk
that?
In?
Okay, so this guy is epic. He's a fucking moron, but he's pretty epic. So he just literally just steals everything. Like, he'll just go to dinner, and then they'll give him the bill, and he'll be like, no, I'm not gonna pay it. But like, nah, I'm not gonna. He's like, all G, like, fucking ass dude. He's like, nah, I ain't paying his shit. And then he just like walks out, and they're like trying to like chase him out the restaurant. Or he'll, like, go to, like, fucking Sears and grab it. Like, whatever. He just steals shit. Like, and he's just filming himself do it and talking shit while he's stealing it. And then, so the best one, he goes to fucking Red Lobster or, like, whatever, Joe's Crab Shack, whatever, some fucking seafood restaurant, and there's lobsters in a tank. And he's like, what about that one? And he's like, no, I want that one. And then like, he literally just reaches in and just grabs a lobster, and he's like, all right, bye, and just starts walking out. Like,
seen
hey,
this.
Like, what are you? And he just literally just walks out of a goddamn lobster, and I'm like, oh my god, like, this dude is insane.
I've seen this one kid,
but it's like, what's he gonna do next? And it's like, good luck topping yourself after. Like, how do you keep topping yourself? You know, you're gonna get fucking arrested.
Exactly, you're just incriminating yourself. There's this one kid that does it with weed, where he'll just like go out in front of a store. And he'll just like smoke, fucking take a dab or some shit.
Yeah.
And it's like on the East Coast, you could tell where it's like not really legal.
Yeah.
And it's like cold as fuck. And then like yesterday, he went and just like lit a joint like inside a convenience store and then just like walked out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is what it's coming to.
Remember, I was in Vegas and fucking, I think it was Soulja Boy. Soulja Boy or some fucking D-list rapper or whatever, like, walking through the casino and like just sparks up a blunt, and they think that they could just because they're like famous, they think they could just do anything. And like,
all the security guards
like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, put that shit out, you're gonna get arrested. Like, people are just like oblivious, you know?
So what about now that it's legal in Vegas, you can't smoke in the casinos?
I don't know, does it go through January or does it go through,
I don't know,
I think it goes through January.
So you could
be wrong, though.
So you could just smoke like while you're at the fucking slot machine.
No, I'm sure they're gonna. I have a feeling that's gonna be a fucking war. It's gonna be a battle between the fucking casinos and the fucking weed regular. Like, that's a fucking battle right there, because these fools are gonna lose money if you're smoking in their casino.
Yeah.
Like, and it's a bad look. Even though there's people doing blow and fucking drinking and smoking cigs and fucking hookers all over your casino, marijuana, the stigma is still like, oh no, that's like, that we don't want that around the families here and the kids and blah blah blah.
Yeah, that's true.
But like, meanwhile, you have like all the worst shit going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just gonna be such a battle, I feel like. Like, none of these fools are gonna want to fuck with it, because it's just gonna encroach on the alcohol sales and the gambling sales.
Yeah, because people are gonna like be fucking super lit, and or they're gonna be like hammered partying, going to the club, and then like they're gonna end up taking two rips and then just get all spun out and then like want to go back to their hotel room and go to sleep instead of like stopping at the fucking craps table and throwing your bankroll on it.
So do you think that there's someone right now scheming, like, or like putting the wheels into motion, like not even scheming, on the first cannabis casino hotel in Vegas?
Yeah, for sure. Everything.
Think about that.
Everything. There's people like bed and breakfast, fucking.
That's already like
wine tasting.
There's already like
weed
movie
tasting,
theaters and like all that shit. But like, I'm talking about like prime time, that 1 mile of strip. Like, that real estate is no fucking joke. Like, to get that, you gotta be someone or no, or
like
you gotta
Steve
have big
Wynn
money, dude.
Like Steve Wynn is gonna open like
saying.
The Green Palace, and you go in and like everything is just like weed related.
How dope would that be?
It's all green.
Yeah, like I wonder, dude, like fucking Trump Tower or like fucking the Cosmo, fucking Mandalay Bay, like whatever, Caesar and the Wynn, they're just scheming, dude, cause it's like, dude, that would hit such a huge, cause it's like, cool, still have your alcohol, still have your fucking hookers and your coke and your fucking what the fuck ever, have it all, but now we're adding marijuana on top. So it's like, you have everything a lot of other casinos have, but you could smoke.
Or you
it's
have
not,
like certain,
it's not like
yeah.
it's just a smoking casino. It's like, no, this is for everything, but you could smoke,
of course. Or they have like little lounge areas and shit where you could just go like roll up and whatever.
Yeah,
dab bars and shit.
Yeah.
Imagine though, you start mixing like dabs with like all the other stuff that goes on in Vegas.
Well, you'd think like the people that are actually gonna want to stay at these places are like the hardcore stoners.
Yeah, it's true. Destination.
You know what I mean? Like, so they're gonna want to just like whatever. But yeah, well, time will tell.
We never talk about Vegas, by the way. Like,
every episode we talk about
only
it's about.
Podcasts. Aaron and I just don't.
Dude, Vegas is like more interesting to me than like anything. Like, it's just so interesting to me, just the whole city and how it works and the money and the fucking backdoor shit and the behind this, like, it's just, like, fascinating.
Dude, it's nuts. And then I just think about it back in the day is always my favorite.
Yeah,
when it was,
course.
Like, the real Wild West.
Yeah.
Just anything back in the day, dude.
Yeah.
It's crazy, dude.
That's true.
You could get away with anything.
Literally.
You'd be like, what the fuck?
I was gonna say it. Watch the McDonald's. Just repeat everything.
Plus it again. So I'm getting towards like the end of this E-Myth book, and it is very good. And I would like to have Makendo on to recap it, because he's like on his third time listening to the audiobook.
Yeah, shit.
And he's just trying to get his shit systematized to where he's working less and less on his business. So. That's fucking sick. I recommend that to anybody out there who has a small business or wants to start a small business. Like, this book is fucked.
Yeah,
like, I'm gonna get you the audiobook or some shit, but
for sure gotta listen to that.
It's like very good information. And then crushing through books, I read that Tribes book, just talking about like the power of, by Seth Godin, like the power of community and just like the true fans and that type of shit, like just starting something
fans.
Yeah, just starting something and with the sense of keeping the sense of community in mind and doing things for the right reason and like the power of that and how nowadays it's like the best time to do it. Like, any little niche you're into.
Yeah, especially now.
Yeah. We can communicate with people, like-minded people. You're not just, like, stuck in your fucking room listening to Alanis Morissette, like, fucking wondering where all the people like you are.
It's all sad and lonely.
So, connect. Hella notes, Bible study.
I'm trying to think if I watched anything else recently. I've been on that BAM one. I've just been lingering.
What the fuck have I watched? I don't even remember these things. I'm watching some show that's like about serial killers, like it's like some fictional thing that's like about this dude who's in the FBI and he's like talking to these serial killers trying to figure out like the psychology, like back in the 70s during Charles Manson and all that shit, and like trying to talk to these dudes and get them to open up and figure out like what they have in common and all this shit. It kind of lost me.
Like all the similarities.
Yeah, like shit. Jen's all into it. It kind of reminds me of like Silence of the Lambs, just not creepy, just like FBI version where they're like going in and talking to Hannibal Lecter and
piece the puzzle together and shit.
Use them to help figure out other crimes and shit.
Yeah. I always wonder how that shit works too with like I should probably know this because my fucking stepdad's like whatever, but like how does this shit work, dude? Like, cool, you have like 5,000 cases. Like, just the logistics of it, you know what I mean? It's like, cool, so every day there's obviously shit hitting the fan left and right, and it's like, you're a fucking detective, and you have, like, 40 fucking cases. It's like, how do you even, like, what, you just pick one, and then, or, like, how, you know what I mean? Like, how does that even work? Like, when you go into work, it's like,
they cool, like
do I just focus
you
on this one case, or do I focus, am I working on all five at once, or do I have, like, a team working on this one, and I work on that one, or, like...
It depends on your position, it's you just, know? Like, insane. It depends on, like, your rank and your position, and then...
Because, like, how they did it, or, like, the little that I do know, like, when Rob was a detective, it was different... crimes had different detectives, so there's like homicide detective, like sex crimes detective, like robbery detective, like a detective for like everything, and there's like one dude overseeing like five detectives or six detectives, and then one dude overseeing that dude, and then the fucking main dude like up here, and it's just like branched out. There's like the fucking sergeant, the lieutenant, the captain, the detectives, the foot patrol, the fuck, it's just like, it's just layers, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like super interesting. It's like, or like, just theft. Like, cool, stole like a fucking $500 souvenir. Like, whatever the fuck. It's like, does that just get filed and like they just forget about it and they don't really give a fuck about it? Or are there people actively trying to solve every single case? Or it's like, you know what I mean?
Going after leads to find.
It's like,
the
how
dude
does that work? You know, it's crazy.
The dude who fucking stole the lobster.
Yeah, that dude's just like, here, come arrest me. Here's like a whole feed of fucking evidence. Like, how dumb is like?
But yet he's still out on the loose, and there's no detective in that town. Hasn't found that
catch
dude
me if
yet.
You can.
His IP address is just like derailed.
Fucking catch me if you can.
That movie is so sick.
That
dude.
Movie is fucking dope.
But like, you can't get away with shit like that nowadays.
Yeah, maybe in the 50s you could like cut and paste a seal on the check and cash it. And
or you could just...
Apparently it's even easier now. What do I say?
Or you just fucking deposit it into your account and get half the money and you get away with it.
So yeah, what if you want to fucking scam some people, we learned a new one. So basically you can... What do? You just pretty much can like... Okay, so you can get a check... Take a picture of it so it deposits to your account, and then you can go to the ATM and deposit that same check.
Yeah.
And as long as you withdraw the money, you get the funds.
Yeah.
So we learned this the hard way because some dude fucking cashed like fucking three checks under my old bank account with 2-year outdated checks that have already been cashed, and he was able to get all the money scot-free, and that dude's gonna get away with it. And then like, that's one more, it's like, they're gonna find this guy. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, there's 10 million other cases just like it with way more money involved, you know?
They never find any of these people. Like, when your fucking cards get swiped and you get, like, $70 charged at the...
That's what I was thinking, like...
Like, people get away with this shit all day.
It's like, how do you...
So I'm wrong. The catch me if you can theory is wrong. You could get away with all like, this shit nowadays.
It's almost easier now, huh? Like...
Find, like, one little fucking scam and you get away with
fucking,
it.
Fucking, like... Like, I already know, just because I've been scammed so many times, I know all these fucking scams left and right. And, like, one of them was, there's literally a whole entire website I think I talked about this on the podcast before. There's a whole website of scammers with a forum, and there's different topics in the forum, like credit card scam, fucking mail fraud, fucking kill people, like what the fuck ever. Like, and then you click it, and then it's like, and my website was in one of the threads as a fucking, it was like a susceptible, what's the word? Like a easy to...
easy target, whatever
like a,
it is.
Yeah, like an easy target. The high-rise code came up as an easy target for a scam. So literally 1 month, like 100 transactions. Like, so this, all these scammers on this thread saw that my website was an easy target. So they click it, they go, and they start buying. They buy the most expensive thing. And it's always from like Albania or like fucking the most random like countries ever, you know? And so like probably like 15 of them went through that I didn't know. And then I like saw the pattern and I'm like, why are my sales like quadrupled? Like, did something you know what I mean? I'm like, are we killing this? Too good to be true. Yeah.
So did they just like do chargebacks, or did
this is what it is. So on that same forum, there's a thread where you can buy people's credit card information. So there's dudes on there that just like, I could do it. Like anybody that owns a business that takes in other people's information. So like, say for embroidery, over the last 5 years, how many credit cards have I fucking processed? How much credit card data do I have of other people? A fucking shitload. So if I was a sketchy fuck, I'd go on this website and be like, yo, who wants to fucking buy all these credit card numbers and fucking whatever, because they'll go through. So what these people do, they get all these stolen credit cards, they go and spend as much money as they can, and then the fucking, basically like, they go to my website with fucking someone else's credit card, buy a bunch of shit, and then that person will later do a chargeback. Like, it's fucking insane. So like,
so they're just doing all this for free clothes?
No, yeah, no, I'm not explaining it right. So like,
do they get money out of this?
Yeah, how do they work exactly? Like, they fucking, how does it work? I can't remember how, like, it was something like they fucking bought all this shit.
So they got the gear and they got money somehow?
Something, yeah. Fuck, I'm just like,
there's just like websites. You can find anything on the internet, dude.
Dude, I forget. But like, literally, they're just pretty much taking other people's fucking credit cards and just buying all this fucking shit, and then fucking, it's the biggest fucking scam ever. So, or no, you know what it is? This is what it is. So they fucking buy it with the credit card, and then they fucking say that they never got the merchandise, so then they get refunded the fucking money, and then the other person does a chargeback or something. I'm not explaining this right. I don't know. I don't know why I can't think of how they did this. It's something like that, though. Like,
that was a couple years ago.
Yeah, I don't even know.
I've been scammed so many times. Dude, I can't remember all of them.
I don't even fucking know. But, like, there's literally just websites out there, just whatever. So, anyway, so I see, like, my sales, like, fucking all these orders from, like, Albania and shit coming in. So I'm like, what the fuck? So I don't even know how. So I go to my analytics to see where all the traffic's coming from. And I notice this, like, random website, altenin.com. And so I click it, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? Because it's, like, 40 people have come to your site today from this link that I've never seen before. So I click it, and it's the fucking scam website. So then I'm like, playing detective, I go to the forum. And then from the forum, I find the, like, I literally just tracked it down. I tracked it all the way down to my thread, and it's two pages of people like, oh, I just bought some shit. Like, oh, it worked. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, everybody, like, just fucking getting through, like, nothing.
Dude, that's like, so wild.
And then so after that, I had to, like, fucking refund all of them. I had to add an extra layer of security on the thing, so that's like verify like more steps now before you can go through. Like, all this shit is like such a headache, dude. It's insane.
Which sucks, because then you have like your true customers, but that's just gonna make an extra step for them to purchase, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for all these fucking scammers, you gotta get them off your back.
Yep, exactly.
All right, so I wanna do some shout outs to some homies off Instagram. We got a couple of questions on our last post. So shout out to Rob_CLTV. He says, what are some tips you guys can share about getting your ads passed by Facebook? They flag everything I try. I'm thinking our name isn't helping because Cannabis Lifestyle TV.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough. First thing I would recommend is creating like as many ad accounts as possible, because if your shit gets deleted, you're fucked. So it's always good, if you make a, it's called a business manager, if you set up a business manager, it will allow you to create like a bunch of fucking accounts, so you can have like 5 backup accounts if you want. Because like my shit got fucking banned in the very beginning, like when I just had, I only had HiRise Co Facebook page, and it's a crazy story. Like, so I had that, and I was like running, I would promote some of the videos that we were doing. This was before I even ran ads on merchandise. Yeah. This was like, I'd boost some of the videos and they're getting like crazy numbers, and it was going through, and then one day, boom, fucking banned. And it's like, you've broken our advertising policy, blah, 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 blah. So then from that point on, I couldn't do anything else through that page. So I actually had to make an entirely new Facebook page. And something I didn't know is that you can merge an old and new page. So if your account gets banned, make a new page, and you can transfer all those likes to your new page. So the page currently now isn't the original HiRise page. It's fucking a new page that I made, and I transferred all the data from the old page to the new one.
The
old one's banned. How crazy is that? But then as I'm learning more about this, like, this happens all the time to people. So you create a business manager, which is like a, it's like a higher level account for all your advertising. You can have multiple accounts underneath it. So like, you can have, like, I had like fucking Apparel Trap, Happy's, Lab Packs, HiRise, like fucking all these brands under one. So I don't have to switch in and out. They're all just right there.
Yeah.
And you can manage them, and then you can create a bunch of new ones. So like, I have like 10 or something. I have like 4 backup ones, just, so you could, in case, just, you know,
swap over.
Exactly. But
so that's big.
It's going to be tough. And then you can get it through sometimes. It just depends like what you're posting. I feel like the thumbnail has something to do with it, because like, I've gotten weed videos through and weed photos through that I know it's weed, but they don't know it's weed.
Yeah.
So like, if you're low key and subtle about it, and you have like some nugs like in the corner or like whatever, just out of focus, or if it doesn't even look like nugs, if you're out of focus, like little things like that to like trick the algorithm and shit. Because like, there's a photo like that you took, and it's like a fucking dad hat with like a nug jug with like nugs pouring out, and there's like 3 nugs in the photo or something, and like, it's never been flagged, and it's like blatantly out there.
Does it perform well because it has a weed in it?
It did, yeah. That was like one of the first ads we ran, like back in the day.
What about like one that was like nugs in the shape of a heart or something like that? Mm-hmm. Would the algorithm pick up that it's a heart, or do you think it would pick up that it's nugs?
Like, yeah, it's weird. It just depends on like the how that looks, I guess, because it's like, because I'm pretty sure it's just like a robot, or it's just a fucking whatever that's like checking it. And then if it gets flagged, I think it goes to manual review, and then someone actually like reviews it. And then you can also, if you're not doing anything like illegal, like if you're just selling fucking shirts, or like if you're just promoting like non-fucking, obviously you're trying to sell weed and bongs and glass and shit, you're not going to fucking get through. That's not going to happen. But if you're selling t-shirts and hats and socks and you're getting flagged, then appeal it. So what you do, if they flag you and say you can't, this doesn't work, like, dude, I get shit sometimes on like ads of hats, and it's like, this violates our government housing policy. You're trying to sell real estate. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm selling fucking hats. And I have to like appeal it and be like, yo, there's an error. Like, I'm just selling hats. Well, I've appealed like 3 times. I've won every time. But it's because I'm not doing anything illegal. I'm just selling clothes. So like, if you're just something like that, you can appeal it and state your case, and maybe you'll be able to get through that way. But like, fuck, man, I'm waiting just like you. The second they fucking make it so you can advertise weed shit through Facebook, it's fucking,
it's game on,
dude. That's big money.
All right, shout out. Thank you, Rob. And then we have Homegirl Chronic Crafter. She said she's ditching Big Cartel for Shopify to sell her handmade stuff. Any tips, tricks, suggestions for a Shopify noob would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, so first thing I'd say, check out the free apps. So there's like a ton of apps you can integrate for free that aren't going to cost you anything, that are going to just help you out, whether it's with marketing or shipping or sales or fucking chatbot, like whatever. There's a fucking 1,000 apps on there that can help you for free. So like, go in, plug all those in. Utilize all their platforms. So like, now it's a fucking new ball game. They have Shopify integrates directly with eBay now, which is a new feature. Amazon, Facebook, fucking Wish, BuzzFeed. There's like 9 outlets that you could be selling on through Shopify. So explore all those. Like, obviously they're not all gonna be for you. Like, some of our brands, like, we try to sell on some of the platforms, some of them we do with other ones. It's just like whatever kind of like meshes the best, I guess. Like wish.com, it's like cool if you're selling like fucking $2 hats, it makes sense. But like if you're trying to sell a brand, it doesn't make sense. So it's like kind of find what works for you. Just utilize the fucking features, like the reporting. Like it gives you detailed analytics and reports on exactly like what's selling, where it's selling from, where your traffic's coming from, blah 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 blah. Utilize their forum. So Shopify has a forum. So Shopify wants you to win, that or else they're not in business. So they want all these small merchants to become big merchants because then they make more money. So they built this fucking library of just like gold, like just dope articles and how to's and fucking this and that. And like every day I get an email like 7 tips for Black Friday, like
so
how to improve your fucking sales reach, how to get more blah blah blah. Like they're trying to help you, so utilize that as much as you can. Talk with other people in the forums, learn shit from them. Fucking boom. It's I can talk about Shopify all goddamn day. But I'd say those are like 3 good ones to start with. Like fucking just
utilize all the information that they give you.
Yeah,
because it is a lot of information. Yeah, and the app on your phone too is great.
Oh yeah,
it's super so easy app. To use. Yeah. Easier than the website.
Mm-hmm. And then even like as far as building your website, don't think you have to spend a bunch of money. There's also free themes. So if you go to the theme section, there's like 10 different ones you can choose from that's free. So you just click it and then you just plug and play your content. You don't have to create a website from scratch.
And they look great.
And they're dope. That's what we use for like 3 of our websites.
Yeah, so I already know. I see people, they send me to their websites and I'm like, oh, this is fucking Shopify. Like yeah. Same shit.
Yeah.
Looks great.
Yeah. And then, yeah, fucking get on Amazon and eBay too, for sure. Sell your shit on there. Integrate it directly. Shit. Make it happen.
Let us know how it goes.
Hit us up when the money starts rolling in.
Let us know when you need dad hats.
Yeah, right. Dad hats for your store.
So, yeah.
Some good shit.
Jellicat Horn 15. Nice.
Right on schedule. So, yeah, what do we got? Anything coming up? Fucking got a lot of shit coming up. We just don't really know what's going to happen, so.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for the adventure.
When we come back next week, maybe we'll have a guest. Maybe we will be talking about our Black Friday strategy.
Oh, that should be our episode. That's a good idea.
We'll do that.
Like Black Friday fucking do's and don'ts.
Hack Friday.
Shit. Yeah. Tune in next Wednesday and we'll drop some fucking knowledge on you. We got Black Friday coming up quick.
It's right around
gonna be here real quick.
The quarter.
Gotta
so
get this shit cracking.
Till then, tell them where to go.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, go to thehighriseco.com. Use code word DubiTalk, save 30% on all your shit. Go to All You Need Skate. Use the code word Fooks, FOOKS. Get 20% off.
My new board is out.
New it's graphics.
The Hobo series. I'm looking extra Asian. I got my rice hat on.
And there's a part bunch in the fields.
There's a bunch of beer everywhere. But the artwork is great. It's by Peter James Glenn. Check that shit out.
Gang, gang. Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
Gucci gang, gang, gang.
That's our outro. But yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. Tune in next week for some more fucking knowledge to be dropped on you.
Bang all over your head.
Till then, keep pushing, keep rising.